the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dityambi Tatyambi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What shall we look at this morning? Jen?
So many things. One, just, it was fun to, as the bell rang to end meditation, there was just a sense of like, I wonder what life is going to create.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's so fun. Like, the most fun thing about that is that I don't have any idea. And
no
I'm
idea.
Sitting here, one of the participants.
Yes.
Right, but I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh. So the bell rings, and there's just this, you know, of I wonder what's gonna. Who knows?
Yeah.
And just that place of well, I don't know, and I get to participate.
Yeah. So one of the things I've been looking at is one of my favorite topics, favorite quotes is, "Humans have an infinite ability to take things for granted."
Uh huh.
And
that seems true, doesn't it?
It sure is. Yeah. So I was doing some things last night, kind of cleaning some things up, and I've got all these reminders around, and I realized that, like anything, the reminders just become part of the wallpaper.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
And there's sort of this invisible conversation around. I don't want to take those down because they're important, and I'm going to do something with them. Like some sense of like,
uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm going to do like there's untapped potential there.
Yeah, and I'm going to lose. I might lose it.
Might lose it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens in reality is that they're completely invisible.
Uh-huh.
You know, uh-huh. And not only are they invisible, but then it becomes like this, almost like an energy drain because there's that conversation in the background. So I just realized, ooh, it kind of, with that and with a bunch of things, you know, even just what, clothing or whatever. I didn't really do it with clothing, but that's a good example of like, but someday I might wear this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
someday.
I
need it.
You know, I remember that time like a year and a half ago, it went with those. And it's like, no, you know, no.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing that's really the really unseen thing underneath that is somehow I'm not going to be adequate to.
Yeah.
Oh, I should not have thrown that sweater away. You know, I should have given that sweater away.
Yeah.
I really want to wear that. And that's going to be too painful.
It's too painful.
Say it out loud.
Yeah.
Right? But somehow that's going to be too painful
to
deal with. So I got to just hold on to all of it just in case.
Just in case.
So anyway, it relates to the infinite ability to take things for granted, because as I stopped and really read those things, it was amazing to see, wow, those are a part of my everyday experience now. And so what I saw was, there's this idea, this story that like, I gotta hang on to these things because I'm gonna do something with them. The reality is, they've already been incorporated into my life.
It's actually happening.
You know, like I read the thing and I could go back to when I wrote that and it was like, oh, wow, I saw this thing and it's unbelievable. And now it's like, that's a self-evident thing that's now a part of my everyday experience.
Wow.
And so it's just that place of, so I just, you know, erased it all, and then boom, immediately was this beautiful one that I received from the guide yesterday, that day, and I just wrote it up there in big, beautiful letters. And it was like, oh, space for the next ones.
Space for the next ones.
Yeah.
Wow, what a great process to see. So I think we can probably all relate to having those reminders and, you know, practice reminders and things up on our wall, and they just all of a sudden become the wallpaper. We just don't see them anymore. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we do kind of catch a glimpse, and it's like, oh, I'm going to get to that, you know,
like when
I have, pretty soon, when I have time, or, you know, whatever it is. And you became aware of that process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a second, that's an energy drain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there you are. You're out of that energy drain.
Mm-hmm.
And you take some time to actually look at them, bring attention to them. And there's this realization of, oh my gosh, these are happening. These are a part of the fabric of my day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were once sort of put up as something I'd like to practice. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, I have been practicing
that. So that story of I'm going to do something with that is...
Yeah.
It's a not current story.
It's not current.
It's the, you know, Sherry talks about it's time to get current.
Uh-huh.
What's true is it already has. The thing that I'm going to do with it has already happened.
Wow.
You know, so it's... And I just realized, wow, that's probably just gosh darn near everywhere in my life.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, computer files and clothes and, you know, all kinds of stuff where, like, what was another example? Oh, I saw something that just out in the monastery area where we have something stored, and I realized we don't need that, but someone else could use that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, the chances of us needing that again are just darn near zero. But someone else could use it. And there's just that sense of like, that process feels like it dams the flow. That holding on feels like it prevents that. Oh, you know, the other place I do it, which is such a good example, is with peace quotes. Oh my gosh. Every peace quote that comes through, I'm like, that is so good. You know what? I'm going to look at that.
I think there's a file for that.
There's absolutely a file. There's a file. And actually, occasionally, life comes around where there's a space, and I get to read some of those, and I make a recording, and it's amazing. But it's also amazing to realize that happens every single day.
Yes.
So the possibility of receiving it in that moment and then letting it go.
Yeah.
Instead of receiving in that moment, being so inspired, and what the process becomes is, I'm going to do something with that.
Yeah.
Such a holding on.
Yeah, the holding on is dams up the flow, as you said. And gosh, those are all just really, really great examples that I'm sure we can all relate to. And as you said, when we don't go into that process, we get current.
Yeah.
Because that conversation is taking us out of the present moment, out of not current, you know, and then we get here and it sounds like, you know, it becomes clear.
Yeah.
Oh, this is to receive now.
Yeah.
As soon as I want to hold on to this, because this is such a great quote and I really want to look at it later, we're no longer receiving
from
life.
That's the way of having it taken away.
It's the way of having it being taken away.
Yeah. And there's something about, the infinite ability to take things for granted, that somehow when there's just that being in the process of all that goodness flowing through all the time, interestingly, it feels like I'm taking it less for granted. Mm-hmm. Because I guess because I'm present to it,
uh-huh.
right? It's just right there, and I'm present to it, and then I'm present to this, and I'm present to that. Instead of like that building up process, that then it becomes everything becomes overwhelming.
Yes.
Wow. Maybe we should do once a week peace quotes. Or there's too many practice reminders. Uh-huh. You know, because it's like, when am I ever going to do something with all those?
Right. Right. Gosh. Again, so I can relate to that process of, you know, doing it later, and it becomes overwhelming. These
yeah.
things that when we first saw it,
whoosh, the transformation was there.
There's the transformation, and then it gets stolen yeah. by, you know, storing it or mm-hmm. having it for someone later. Mm-hmm. And to watch that process and to go, I know what to do. Just let go.
Yeah.
Just receive it now, because it's not the content.
Yeah.
It's the process of goodness is constantly coming in all these different forms.
Yeah.
And when you're allowing yourself to just, you know, receive, let go, that keeps, there's no damming effect. There's just
exactly.
a flow.
Yeah.
And there's no sense of taking things for granted, because you're in a constant process of gratitude we can project.
Yeah, and what I saw when you were reflecting that is, no process of taking it for granted or taking it personally. It's not uh-huh. mine to keep.
Yeah, right.
You know, just like the physical thing is a really good example of that. I'm going to keep that, and then someone else isn't going to have access to it because I'm mm-hmm. keeping it.
Uh-huh.
Or the other thing that occurred to me as I was looking at it is that I really suspect, this is one of those California, you know, woo-woo things, but it feels to me like, so I'm keeping, like, let's use the metaphor of the sweater. I'm holding onto that sweater. And it feels like that's kind of a communication to life that I don't, she's got too much already. And so when there's I never wear that sweater. So there's that letting it go, and that if there does arise a moment, you know, there's that year and a half later where that sweater would have been perfect, there's just such a sense that life will see the opening and provide.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how to describe that, but just it just feels like when there is that constant energy of letting go and flowing through, then life is offered. If there's a space where something
yeah.
is needed or even just wanted,
yes.
that life has the space to provide that. Whereas when I've got all my attention on all these things
yeah.
that I'm keeping just in case, there's no room for life to bring in the new thing.
And we don't get to have that experience of what you just described,
mm-hmm.
which I'm, you know, we can guess is from experience, that when we stay open, life provides.
Yeah.
So even if I need that that we are storing in the shop, and if there comes a time for that to be, you know, needed and it's no longer here,
yeah.
something else will come through.
Exactly.
And we know that.
Yeah.
Because we've had the experience over and over.
We didn't need that. Or it provides some other opening, or
yeah.
life provides it in some way, or, you know,
yeah.
I mean, all kinds of miracles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you were saying, too, those concrete examples about, you know, if I'm holding on to the sweater, then no one, someone else can't use it. It reminds me of that, what you're talking about, the energy, too.
Exactly.
Because this is all one thing.
Yeah.
So if I'm holding on,
yeah.
and I'm damming up the flow of energy, you know, we can see how that affects all.
Yeah.
Just as letting go and letting
yeah.
that energy flow
yeah.
affects all.
Yeah. Boy, and it's the place of freedom, isn't it? Because when you look at it, when you talk about it on the energetic level, and I can imagine it is happening on the energetic level. Like, I'm going to hoard the happiness, I'm going to hoard
yes.
the good feelings, I'm going to hoard all the same thing that, it just left. So hoarding all the it has the same process,
mm-hmm.
is that it's actually the way to take it away. You know,
mm-hmm.
so when I'm,
yeah.
you know, holding that happiness, oh, I know what it was, holding that happiness, etc., the underlying belief is, I'm not adequate.
Yeah.
Right? Because, wow, here's all this happiness, but that doesn't happen very often, and I better hang on to that, because there are all these other times where that doesn't happen, so I need a storehouse
mm-hmm.
of the happy and the good and the, mm-hmm. you know, compliments and all the conditional stuff. I need a storehouse of that to call on. Not realizing, I mean, kind of tragically, it actually doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
You can't store those things. You know, it might be nice if you could, but they rot.
They rot.
You know?
Yeah.
So then when you go to find them, when it feels like the stores are empty, you're going to this place that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
it's an imaginary storehouse.
It's an imaginary storehouse, and yeah. It seems to reinforce the inadequacy. Whereas to practice
exactly.
That, like, wow, this is beautiful, and it's just letting it go through, kind of practicing that I'm adequate to every moment,
yeah.
Then what that allows is the space for life to take care of us
yeah.
In everything.
Yeah, that's an important point, right? Because we sometimes don't see that. Then we're holding on this thing for later, and it can kind of get discussed as, well, it's practice, and there's this great thing I really want to, you know. But we don't see that underlying that holding, that process of holding on, is there's a belief,
mm-hmm.
and we're reinforcing that belief, you know, maybe something around I'm not adequate,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not okay, or I'm not going to be okay, or
mm-hmm.
something like that. And I've got to store these things
mm-hmm.
for later. And, you know, if we just pay attention, we can see that doesn't work that way.
Okay.
You know, they go to an imaginary storehouse and they rot. There's no life in them. You know, they're being they're being put outside of life.
Yeah.
Maybe we could say. And so when we go into that process of that we're adequate, you know, that life's going to meet us, we get
mm-hmm.
to have that experience of freedom.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That what we're reinforcing is, I am okay.
I am
in every
okay.
moment, and the proof is here. I am.
Here I am. Here's the proof again. I'm
all
still
that,
okay.
All that stuff
yeah.
has happened, right? The really great stuff, the really yeah. fun stuff, the really hard stuff, the really challenging stuff. You know, it's all happened, and here I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I just that example of the sweater. So, I wish I still had that sweater.
Yeah.
If we were practicing that.
Exactly.
Oh, but I'm okay.
Exactly.
You know, maybe I'm just really enjoying the shirt I have on today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. Thank you. That I think I talked about that in group one evening where I came in and it was, I don't know, spring or fall, one of those, you know, in between seasons. In between what? That's interesting, right? but where it could go either way, you know.
Right.
And I realized, I sat down and I didn't have my sweater with me. Completely warm, right, at the time. But I don't have my sweater with me.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
There's kind of a dun-dun-dun.
Right. I mean, wow, this is serious. But again, I saw that same thing
yeah.
with it, is the freedom is, oh, okay. Right. First of all, I have no idea if I'm going to get cold. That might completely not be an issue. And if I do get cold, well, that's my best opportunity to see that that's completely all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? In a really low stakes kind of a way.
Yeah.
Not going to freeze in the meditation hall. Right. You know, no bodily danger. It's a very finite period of time. But what a beautiful way to go up against that, like, I'm
yeah.
prepared.
Yeah.
I haven't stored up my happiness
yeah.
for whatever it is.
Yeah. It's so great because, of course, when you're practicing, again, we don't see it. No, I forgot my sweater and
yeah.
I am going to be
gosh.
Cold. And next time, so I'll make a
plan. Can I sneak out before the bell or whatever?
Yeah.
yeah.
Maybe that person doesn't need their sweater and alone it's me. You know? So that place of when we're just going to, we're adequate and I'm okay now, we get to see, whoa, there's something operating there
yeah,
that I
exactly.
wasn't really conscious of
exactly.
that's controlling me. In
yeah.
this case, it's about a sweater. But if we look at it from a process perspective, it's a process of not freedom.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
of you're going to, if you don't, you know, conditional.
Yeah.
And to bring it into the unconditional of, oh my gosh, I'm completely okay.
Yeah.
And check in with your experience and see that.
And then you get to the place of realizing, oh, I see. That's what they mean when they say everything is a gift.
Uh-huh.
So forgetting my sweater
uh-huh.
isn't a problem, goes back to the
yeah.
one of the assignments we had the other day, isn't a problem. It's actually a gift to highlight a place where I'm not free that I would have never seen if I always carefully bring my sweater with me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Boy, what a fun way to live life, isn't it?
Yeah.
To bump up into everything and see, you know, where's the gift in here?
Yeah.
Because I know that everything's a gift.
Yeah.
And in this case, a process that was maybe holding me in bondage is revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moved to a place of freedom. Oh my gosh, what a
yeah.
gift.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's that everything that happens to me happens for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's another place, good place to go.
Yeah,
I know this is for me.
Yeah.
So what's being offered right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the universe is behind us to wake up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hannah.
Listening to that just took me back to an experience that I had recently when I was in England of sorting through lots of old things and just noticing a new orientation to it. You know, you're doing something that you've done before, but you notice that you're different.
Yeah, it's helpful to have those things, isn't it? It's like, these are the same things that I looked at, whatever, however long ago.
Yes.
But there's something different here. I'm recognizing that the different orientation.
Yeah, exactly. And what was really fun about it was to bring recording and listening into that. So when I noticed that feeling of, I can't let this thing go, I might need it, or there's some sort of reason why I have to hang on to it, to record about the experience of being with this thing and what it's given me and all the appreciation.
That's brilliant.
Instead of needing to hang on to the object, but it felt like there was some sort of receiving of it through recording about it.
Yeah, because what are we holding on to?
Right.
That physical thing.
Yeah.
And so to bring recording and listening to it, and to record about your experience with the object, which is maybe what we're always kind of longing for, or hoping that we have, or whatever it is, and to receive in making that recording and listening to it.
And part of the new experience was just like a new openness for life to drop in places for these things to go where they might be appreciated.
Yes.
So it was like a sorting through loads of old like university notes, and there was all these beautiful files and binders and beautiful stationery and office supplies. Mm-hmm. And then it dropped in, there's a little school just down the road. I wonder if they would appreciate these things. I called them and they were like, I just went down, and it was just all of that, you know. And, you know, a friend who I grew up with, who now has a 2-year-old daughter, who just loved all of these old 1980s toys, vintage things. And, it was just such an experience of that, of what it feels like when that energy gets moving and these things, you know, aren't hung on to. And
wow, it's almost again, we wouldn't be able to see that if we were holding on to those items. You know, when you said kind of and letting them go as if they were ever ours in the first place.
Exactly.
You know, and gosh, I mean, we can just, I mean, I project, I can hear the energy about, I'm gonna call up that school down there. Yes, you know, we would love that. And just I project the joy we receive by these items that have given to us.
Yes.
Continue to give. And I get to be a part of that. I get to receive that too.
Yeah, and you get to be actually present to how much life is given.
You get to be present to how much life is given.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which you can't be if you're in that, I gotta hold on to this.
Right.
Right. But as soon as we let go, here comes the dam is undone, and it's just flowing right into us.
Right, because that holding on does come from that scarcity.
It comes from the scarcity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're, you know, in that place, we're aware of how much has been given.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just now, but always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could just stay in that place for a while, couldn't we? It was really lovely.
Yeah. There's just so much dropping in to look at, and there's just, let's see. So, what's going on in practice is just this, an experience this week of being in group on Thursday with the guide, and just having a really visceral experience of how piercingly clearly the guide can see ego in all its minute movements.
Mm-hmm.
Not fooled.
Piercingly.
Piercingly.
Can see it, Not fooled at all, yeah.
Yeah. And what I noticed was that after that, ego got really, triggered hard, and it was doing this thing where what it talks to me about is not good enough. So say I've got a practice update, a process update to give, to write.
Mm-hmm.
It starts talking about not good enough, but what's really going on is a saying no to the communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time that had come around where I actually saw it that clearly, like, oh, there's that thing where it starts talking to me about you're not good enough, but what it's really doing is saying no to the communication, to the opportunity to be facilitated, to be in communication with practice.
That's good to catch on to, right? Because we could get caught up in the not good enough and realize, oh, wait, that's just its way of trying to get me to not communicate.
Yes.
And not to be facilitated.
Yeah, and supported.
Which is that place to be supported.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that place where the facilitation can help us see really clearly.
Yeah.
Because that's what I project happened. When the guide is seeing it really clearly, you went to that place too.
Well, yes. Well, that's what I saw. So I kept the commitment and wrote the thing. As I was doing it, what I saw was, oh, well, there must have been something here that was seeing ego clearly for that experience to be recognized.
Yeah.
And
good to take that in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that you actually had that experience. It's not, oh, well, if I'm around the guide, then you went there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the movement that felt so important was then that I'd been feeling kind of identified with feeling embarrassed and feeling identified with the deep cringe, you know, when you seeing what ego was up to. And the movement was moving to feeling identified with the awareness that could see it, not with the embarrassment and cringe. So being like more identified with the awareness that could see it than being it.
Uh-huh.
And because, you know, all of that embarrassment and cringe is just, there was a Peace Corps recently about embarrassment is just ego wallowing in its own selfness.
That's a good one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, and so to just, you know, stay with that and realize, oh, there must have been something here that could see it, and, oh, that's what's animating this form, not it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a great process to see. So so there's this feeling of cringing and embarrassment, which again, I'm sure we can all relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of an awareness that there's an embarrassment and cringing.
Yes.
And then there's this movement of, seeing that, like, there's a little bit of disidentification, a movement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that which can see that something is getting embarrassed and cringing.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is what happens to ego when you have piercing awareness, you know, exposing exactly what it is.
Mm.
And then in that movement, you know, you got to see, oh, well, one, I can make that movement. Oh, there must be something that can see that. Oh, I am that.
Yes.
That's what we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a good one on the recorder. Huh?
Yes. Well, it did get on the recorder.
Yeah.
I had a great recording session last night, including going to this place of, imagine what it would be like to get up in the morning and... This is so important, but to be in that awareness that what you are is the awareness watching it and not it, he wouldn't need to be afraid. He wouldn't need to be worried about anything. That's just your work. You go about the day looking for opportunities to encounter it and expose it and transcend it, and which is of course what we're doing in awareness practice. But there was just like a really going to that place.
Yeah.
And then I listened back to the recording that was, imagine what that would be like. And, you know, you went there.
Yeah.
You had that experience to be able to imagine that.
That's such a brilliant way to use recording and listening, isn't it? Because, you know, you're recording from that experience of being clear, making that movement.
Yeah.
What we are is this awareness. We're not, that's ego. Ego's over there. We're not that. This is what we are.
Yeah.
And then here you are sort of coaching the person essentially to make that movement again.
Yeah.
Remember, it's not like imagine something you've never experienced.
Exactly.
We just experienced it. Here's how it was. And you're bringing that person as they listen right back to that place.
Right.
And then there's kind of that, what if we just went around our whole day doing that? What if we woke up and moved to that awareness if we're not already there?
Yes.
There'd be nothing to be afraid of or worried about.
Yes. Yeah, nothing to defend.
Nothing to defend.
Nothing to protect. Nothing to.
Yeah.
But that was exactly it. Uh-huh. Yeah, the using the recording in that way, and then listening again this morning.
Great. Yeah. Making that recording, listening this morning, and I love that, just that image of going around your day. I imagine like the recorder's in your hand, mm-hmm. looking for those places, mm-hmm. you know, where maybe it's hiding out. And again, if we're looking, then we are practicing being in that larger perspective.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Like practicing it now. There was that experience of that movement just in that moment so clearly that got registered and then got recorded about, and now to keep practicing it.
Yeah, and then you can just see how that could build. Mm. I just had another experience of, you know, I'm in that larger place and clarity of I'm not, and this is what I...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, we're listening to that really assists us, I project, in reminding us and, how do I say it, I guess identifying with mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. Which we really are. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, what we're normally listening to is something telling us we're essentially that we're ego, that we're suffering.
Yes, exactly. And that we need to be embarrassed about.
That we need to be embarrassed. Today. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes embarrassed is too light a word for it. Sometimes it's embarrassed, cringe, sometimes it's, you know. But that all of that is that ego reaction to it being seen, and that what we are is the conscious, compassionate awareness that's seeing it. Yeah. I think that was all for now. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Rebecca?
Wow. So there's the umbrella that seems to be there for me around all of this that I'm seeing and what's been talked about is process over content.
Uh-huh.
And let me see if I can sort of drill down and explore that. So the conversation about letting go of items and not holding on brought up this memory of how I used to be with my kids when they would outgrow their toys. Mm-hmm. So we would go through their toys, and we would, you know, the things that I noticed that weren't getting played with much, and we'd put them in a box, and I would tell them, you know, and there was always this, but no, not that one.
Boy, that process has been going on a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, yes. And I would tell them, okay, we're going to put this, we're not going to get rid of it, we're going to put this box in the attic, and if at any time you miss any of these toys, we'll just come up to the attic and get it and bring it back down, and it'll come and live in your room again. And if we don't miss it, we don't miss it. And so then after a few months, 6 months or so, if they hadn't ever missed it, we would give it away.
Uh-huh.
And that seemed to make a safe place of, if we're making a wrong choice here, and I really do want those little type animals, you know, barnyard animals in my room again, then we can get them. And so there's no risk, right? And at and that seemed to work really well, because then they would, you know, I'd get rid of the stuff later, and nobody, there was no tears, there was no, you know, any of that. It was okay. That seemed to create a really safe space.
Mm-hmm. A safe space to let them go.
To let go.
Or it's almost like something else is deciding to let them go.
Yeah, it was. As I look back, what I projected, it was a training on how not to cling.
How not to cling.
That you can feel fine that if the heart wants something, it'll be there.
Yeah, we don't have to go to like deprivation, or we're not going to be okay.
Right.
Training that if there's truly something the heart wants, it'll be there.
Yeah, although I'm laughing because I'm just remembering when I moved here to the monastery, I came across a box that was carefully covered in cellophane and of Barbies and their stuff and a Cabbage Patch doll. And, you know, and it's like, I wonder who hung on to those. I think it was me thinking, they're going to be valuable someday. We're going to sell them someday. Anyway, that's beside the point. But that whole, and it feels like the way that that's processed is that So those kids were growing, and they outgrew this kind of learning toy, you know, and things that they would interact with to the other, just like we are. So it wasn't like, okay, this person needs this stuff, this person, this content, this thing needs this thing. It's more like this process calls for this. This process calls for this. Down the road, this process of a teenager calls for this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This, you know, and so as I kind of get into the flow of, instead of being a someone, being a process, you know, it totally changes how I see how those things interact with, you know, with me in my life. And I noticed that the new little edge in that around my recordings, because I can get very attached to my recordings. Uh-huh. You know,
I might need those.
I know. I was like, I need to hear those. And I noticed that when I was just last night, as a matter of fact, I was putting it on shuffle. So I've got, you know, the thousands of recordings, and I put them on shuffle. And I just kind of hated to go to sleep, because what if the one I really need comes in when I'm asleep and I don't want to keep it on shuffle because I might miss them? And then I thought, well, they're on shuffle. How do I? It's like they come up when they come up, you know? And it's not like I would even know when I wake up at, you know, 6 in the morning and it's still on shuffle. They're like, oh, these are the ones I need to hear. You know, it just is, it's a whole exercise in utter trust in life to provide what's needed.
And some laughter to make that, utter trust to that life will provide in this moment. And just some laughter in that process.
Yeah.
You know, like, but what if, you know, it's like, but the barnyard animals, like, what if I need, you know, with the doll and the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to see all of this, you know, as we, whatever is going on for us, we're seeing things differently, and you're really looking at the process of all of this, that there are these, quote, things in this person, but it's not really these things in this person. It's like kind of these tools or things that are here that we're using at this time, mm-hmm. and then we no longer need them. You know, kind of reminds me of the metaphor of a raft leading to the far shore.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good image.
We really can't carry that raft and then go get another one. We've got to let the raft go.
Yeah.
And to have a process of seeing how that works.
Yeah.
And like you said, and with the kids, like a safe way to do that, or a, you know, just find a really compassionate way to make that movement of letting go, so that we can receive the next set of tools or the next raft, or however you want to talk about it.
Yeah. Or the next boyfriend. I even remember telling my daughter, she was in this relationship in college that wasn't really doing anything. It's like, honey, as long as you got him filling that space, mm-hmm. there's not going to be an empty space for anybody else to fill. You know, so, you know, so even with everything in our lives, it's just a kind of attuning to the energy and letting it go.
Yeah, right. Well, it's what we were just talking about. If we're holding on, we're blocking the dam.
Exactly, blocking the.
And it feels like that I need this to be okay, but we're actually, that process is blocking the things that take care of us.
Yeah.
The goodness can't come in. So.
And that's the karmic, that's the way of karma.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what the karma is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I just saw something about what, a big piece of another thing that I'm looking at in practice that feels related. So let me see, it's fading now, but maybe it'll become apparent. That blocking, it threw me in the veil, you know. Just our job is to just remove everything, all the things that keep us from love, not, you know, to
not
find it or
exactly.
whatever. But, and so the process that I've been looking at is the process of loving something and being so lit up by something that not everybody, or maybe even not very many people, seem to love and be lit up by.
Uh-huh.
And or aren't really open to, you know, that there's a, and that whole process that happens within me around even noticing that. And so, you know, I may be talking about this or sharing that or whatever, and the process the karmic process is sort of watching the reactions.
Uh-huh.
And something about your reaction matters. Mm-hmm. You know?
Uh-huh.
Whether it's a yes or a no, like somehow that matters. Not tremendously in some cases, but not even it's not even the point of the degree that it matters, it's the fact that it matters. You know?
Yeah. And so the process of being really lit up about something, you know, really loving something. And then there's another process of kind of looking for reactions, or something noticing reactions. And the reactions seem to be maybe not understanding that or not loving it the same way or whatever.
Yeah.
And that what you're really seeing is sometimes the reactions matter a little bit, sometimes they matter a lot. But just that the reactions really matter.
Yeah, if they're even noticed.
So here's
an example that came to mind. So I was the last time I was out in the world visiting some friends. I was talking about recording and listening. I was so excited, and these people hadn't heard of recording and listening, and I was just, oh my God, you know. And then I remembered that the person I was talking to was a therapist, and I reached out and I go, oh my God, and you're a therapist. And, you know, and then there was something about the look on his face and something that came in that I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I just going on and on? And his response was, no, I'm just enjoying the energy.
Uh-huh.
And that gave me permission to enjoy the energy.
Uh-huh. Right, because you are enjoying the energy until there's this interpretation of somebody's reaction.
Yep.
And the interpretation, maybe the karma, I think is what you're pointing at, is there's some kind of disapproval or they don't really get it, or I'm going on and on, or
something.
Which
be
takes
a number of things.
You know, you can see it in your movement. You're like talking, and then it's like, oh, am I going on and on? And then, but that question of asking kind of opened up a place for them to respond. Oh, I'm just really enjoying the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had that insight. Oh, I could just enjoy the energy.
Yes, and the karma of, so there's two layers of karma. One is, first of all, the kind of the scan.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Where's the warm, where's the gold, where's the blue? You know, just kind of how's it doing? And then there's the, and that can be, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because we kind of want to, I'm not saying any of it's actually good or bad, but there's, first of all, just the taking the temperature. Of are there, you know, is there whatever. And then there's the karma of that talks to me about that.
Uh-huh.
So
and those seem like two different processes. There's the
two different faces on the
two
same
different faces.
Kind of karma.
So there's the taking the temperature, and then there's the something talking to you about the taking the temperature, whatever that assessment is.
Yeah, and then, yes, so, you know, and it doesn't say it as blatantly, but the message is received is, you're kind of not that good with people, and you need to tone it down, or maybe with them you should, and, you know, it's basically as if there's an agenda that I'm trying to get, you know, beyond just being lit up.
Uh-huh.
So there's the insertion of the agenda.
I see. So the comment around, you know, you really, and you should tone it down, and people, it highlights that it's saying that there's some kind of agenda, as opposed to just being with the energy.
Well, it doesn't want me to see that there's an agenda.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it actually imposes this artificial agenda. Like, I don't really care if they took up recording. I mean, it's like kind of just get on my nose if they don't want to do recording and listening. But that's the, you know, so I don't have an agenda that they really should do.
Yeah.
You know?
So you hear those comments and you're like, well, I actually don't have an agenda. You're imposing an agenda.
When I'm disidentified.
Of course.
From that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because what can often happen is, oh, am I being too pushy?
Yeah, we don't realize that there's something talking to us and imposing an agenda.
Exactly.
And it feels real.
That isn't even here.
Yeah, we take on an agenda that's not even ours. That's not even really here.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, maybe I am being too. Yeah. And then here we are behaving out of that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, that seems kind of massive to see.
It is. And, you know, it's so the two enneatype. I'm just kind of, you know, seeing kind of really big. But and it does feel like a solidifying into a content what is meant to be a process.
Hmm.
You know?
It's solidifying that whole thing into a content which is meant to be a process. So the process of being in the energy
mm-hmm.
gets put into the content of whatever.
Are they going to like it? Do they want to do it? Is it going to go anywhere? Yeah. Do they want to blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, and then we get pulled right out of that, like being with the life energy or being the life energy.
Yeah.
That's that movement from process to content.
Yes, yeah.
Wow, and then you also just really highlighted the movement from, oh, it's gotten into content. That's not even my agenda.
Yeah.
And then there's a movement back into the process of just being with the life energy.
Yeah, yeah. And seeing that, you know, so much of what we have been doing in practice, especially over the last few years, has been kind of like just prying apart what's ego and what's, you know, in our language and everything.
Yeah.
Like, what is not me? That what is not me? And this feels like one of those places that can be really skin-like. Am I being too fill in the blank? You know, and
right. Like,
there is no I, and there is no two. You know?
And that though you're mentioning enneatype two, those enneatypes can really help us kind of get more clear about what is that kind of personality. Ego kind of thing that we get drawn into.
Yeah.
And then we can start working with that. And as you said, kind of prying it apart. What are we and what are we not?
Yes.
Yeah. And getting clear about that.
Yeah.
And then recording and listening about it and practicing it.
And then practicing not getting attached to the recordings that we record and listen to. Because, again, even because it'll use anything. It can even take that because the recording is done in the flow, in that process. And then we can think, okay, so now I need that thing to get back to that. I need that sweater to get back to that outfit that I really want. So I need that recording to get back to that experience that I really want to feel.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah. And then it's sort of like we have this awareness. We get clear about what we are. And then that slips right into a content of, okay, so what I need to do is I have that recording, and then I'll listen to that recording, and then...
Yeah,
and then in the process of transformation gets put right back into a content.
Yeah.
Of things, and if I do that, then...
Which is goes right back to the nighttime recordings on shuffle experience, because it's like, first of all, I don't know what, you know, what process is gonna I'm going to hear. I don't know what state of consciousness I'm going to be in, because it's all through the night. I'm going to be in different levels of sleep. I don't know what I need. I don't know. You know, sometimes I've had the experience where life will wake me up just to hear something, and sometimes I sleep right through and don't even know that they're on, and, you know, so... It's like I don't know. I'm just living.
I'm just living
the process of life.
Yeah.
And I'm not in charge of anything. I don't need to control. I don't even need to worry about anything. You know, it's just
I don't need to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Because we've had all those experiences over and over, as been talked about this morning, about how we're so well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our job is just to get here the best we can to receive that.
Yeah. I love that line from what we used to read here a lot, Every Moment Zen.
Mm-hmm.
And the line that I just always went right to was everything in life is something. The gist of it was everything is conspiring for our awakening.
Uh-huh.
Not everything is lining up perfectly for me to be a successful or for me to go into deep stages of meditation, or for me to be the most physically fit. It's conspiring for awakening.
Yeah.
And so if to the degree that we align with, okay, I want my life to be awakened, you know, to live an awakened life, then we're in the flow of what life is really conspiring for, you know, and anything else, you know, may come or it may not, but this is what life is really designed for.
It's nice
to remember that.
It's nice to remember that, that life is conspiring for us to wake up. And it helps us kind of move, it sounds like, into that, just back, and I'm just going to calibrate to the energy. Mm-hmm. Because everything else, if I listen to that recording and if I get into deep levels, there's sort of all these better ideas of how I'm going to wake up. And it's like, boy, that's, what a weight to be carrying around, and just to let go of that and relax and just know the universe is conspiring for us to wake up.
Jen? I was just appreciating what a good example recordings really are of that whole process we're talking about. Because the same thing for me can happen with, this recording is just going to go into an abyss, right? And it's so funny because lately I've been listening a lot on shuffle again. And I'll hear recordings, literally from 7 years ago that say, am I ever going to hear this recording again? I'm like, yep. 7 years later, and it's super helpful. Just that place of completely trusting.
Completely trusting, yeah. There's an orchestration is the word that comes up for me that's going on. And, there's kind of that, again, that thing about kind of worrying or what if I... am I ever gonna? And then here you are listening on shuffle.
So we don't need to be in charge.
You so don't need to be in charge. Yeah.
The other piece I was appreciating in the conversation is how it really comes down to presence. Mm. Just being here. Because that place of, I had an image where folks were continuing the conversation of kind of cleaning things out. I remember I had a very close friend who would talk about his childhood at Christmas, on Christmas Day, and how it would be. His mother's approach was, she was a single mom, completely overwhelmed most of the time, just, so her way was, as soon as the presents are opened, wrappers go in the trash, tree comes down, it was done, we are done with Christmas. And that's the other side as well, right? I was looking at that last night too, where I can get to that place of I need 4 shirts and 3 pairs of pants and 2 sweaters, and if I have more than that, you have to get rid of it. And that control place. It's control on both sides.
It is. Really. That's kind of how the duality works, right?
So it's just appreciating that the place of presence is the thing. Because in presence, it's then we see when it's time to get rid of the toy.
Yeah.
So it's not premature and it's not hanging on to it and it's not.
Yeah.
It's just that presence that informs.
Yeah. Well, that's helpful, right? So we just keep coming back to presence. Because otherwise, what are you saying? It just starts to turn everything into a rule.
Yeah.
And then all that's really happening is now we're on the other side of the duality.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I got to get rid of, and there's a plan or that kind of thing. And we miss the whole point of just calibrating to the life energy and letting it flow.
I've noticed another, I've just been getting really present to a number of places that could be cleaned out, either literally or metaphorically. Mm. And so just practicing receiving that as an awareness and trusting life unfolding that instead of, wow, now it's completely irritating me. that there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this and I got to do it all right now because now it's driving me crazy. But is there a way of appreciating that, I don't know how, it's almost like as soon as the awareness drops in and there's the commitment to the process, it already is cleaned out.
Yeah.
And now at some point the actual physical manifestation of that will happen when the opening is there for it to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that having some awareness that metaphorically or physically some things need to be cleaned out and just seeing, holding that in awareness is going to allow life the space to drop in the next step on whatever needs to happen. And in that way, the cleaning out's already happened.
Yeah. As long as we stay present.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that will happen is, I know, I need to clean it all out. Yes. And then, go, 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 completely obsessed with it until I don't feel like it anymore. basically some other energy pops in there, starts to take over, and then, just circles us around in a duality.
Yeah.
But when there can be that awareness, and then the commitment to stay present, and to watch for those openings, just little by little by little, it just happens.
Yeah.
Boy,
that's so fun, isn't it?
I mean, I had an experience, I've probably talked about it already, I can't remember, but I had a project in my little hermitage, and, there was all these steps to it, really, quite a number of steps, even though it seems like it should be so simple, but, there was the communicating about it, and then the order, and then measuring, and ordering, and then waiting for it. But I was really present to only paying attention to it with each step that I was on, and it truly was the experience of, was, well, that happened, like, so quickly, even though it took literally almost a year, it felt like, wow, that just happened, because there's no mental energy going to what isn't happening. There's only just taking the step that that's there to take.
Gosh. So when the attention is on presence, just on the step that I'm taking, then all of a sudden, you know, we just keep with that focus, and there's no room for what's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, whoa, that happened.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Like, someone did that for me, which kind of is true.
It's kind of true, it's isn't
beautiful.
It? Yeah, when we're in that place and we're being lived, it's it's like it's done for us, and we say thank you. Boy, what a kindness for the person too.
Yeah.
Not to be carrying around
so much more fun.
Oh my gosh, all that mental energy and whatever happens to us physically, if we I've got to hurry and earn and all that, that just stay here moment by moment.
Yeah. I'm sorry, can I just get one more example of that kind of thing?
Absolutely, we have 5 more minutes.
Okay. It just happened as I was about to walk in the meditation hall this morning. So, you know, yesterday we had this call that they were talking about just now, that if something arises, just kind of now, taking care of it now. And so when I was getting some water out of the sensor, I noticed some cobwebs around the thing. And then I thought, okay, I want to remember that tomorrow when I'm cleaning the porches. Because I have on my agenda tomorrow, clean the porches, you know. So, okay, I hope that will drop in. And then I went, you know, and put my thing in, and then it just dropped in now. And it occurred to me now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took about 2 seconds to take some, take my hand even, and just take the clock cobweb here. Now, there's nothing that needs to be, okay, there was something I was going to remember about the porches. You know, all, any of that psychic energy is now open to whatever is actually there tomorrow when it's time to claim the porches. So it was just such a great, I just really appreciated everything in that moment. You know, Sangha, having heard that yesterday, and that the awareness and the thing that registered it, the thing that was willing to act, it's just that whole moment was very fun.
It's life conspiring for us to wake up, you know, all the practice that set that up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the call you listen to in the morning, but we can imagine it's all the practice you've ever done. Because there's that, I mean, we can project there's a place of presence.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the awareness that there's cobwebs and that they need attention. There's the, whatever, the habit to, you know, put it on a list for I'll do it tomorrow when I'm doing porches.
Yeah.
And then there's the space for it to drop in now.
Yes.
And then, you know, there's kind of like a laughter. I've just projected delight. Thank you. And then, you know, we just take our hands and move the cobwebs. You know, it's such a great metaphor. Move the cobwebs. And now now we're again, we're in that more open space for whatever needs to drop in for the next thing.
Yeah.
Tomorrow or in the next minute or whatever it is.
Exactly.
It's very fun. It is so fun, right, to be present to those experiences. Yeah, and then to articulate, so we can all go there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Mm-hmm.
2 more minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.